Redef is the story of Ashabi, a housewife in her late 20s who is determined to make a name for herself in the world, despite the hurdles on her path and the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic. Chapter 12. By evening, Ashabi had sorted some of their bags and moved their other belongings into the three bedrooms. When she first arrived at their new apartment, she was sure God had answered every prayer on her list. "Are you for real?" Ashabi exclaimed as Teju drove into the large compound as big as a neighborhood football pitch. Ashabi had always loved space. Space was life, and she had disliked how tiny the previous apartment compound was. Seeing the coconut tree at the center of the large compound brought a smile to Ashabi's face. "God is good," she said to Ire. "He has given us everything we asked for." It took them some time to clean up the dust still visible on the doors, windows and shelves. Even though Tejo had been at the apartment to do some cleaning a week ago, Ashabi still saw places that needed serious cleaning. She placed Ire in his walker, set him in the large empty dining room area, and walked into the door to the right. That was the kitchen. Ashabi instantly observed the pantry, despite how dark and small it looked. It was a rectangle-sized room with double planks in the middle and on the right side of the walls. The brown carpet on the planks was worn and dirty, just like the carpet on the pantry floor. But Ashabi did not mind. She had always wanted a kitchen with a pantry where she could arrange her dishes and food items comfortably and neatly without messing up the kitchen space. Turning to observe the kitchen space, she noticed the blue duckhead tap and the single tub kitchen sink. "Fine, once I wash you very well, you will look good and clean," she said affirmatively as she turned the tap and water gushed out like a fountain once abandoned. She hoped they never had to deal with pumping machine palaver in this new apartment. The kitchen was double the size of the previous one. It had a black metal door that led outside. Ashabi observed many plantain trees leaning against the fence through the dusty kitchen window. Next, she counted the shelves under the white and grey tiled kitchen counter. There were four doors, and two of them had keys. Despite how dirty and old the shelves looked, Ashabi counted her blessings and knew this apartment was a dream come true. A woman's kitchen was one of her favorite rooms, and she was grateful that it had the space and beauty she needed to try new recipes and bake whatever she wanted. Ashabi walked to the living room and saw Teju standing at the doorway that led into the two inner rooms. "So what do you think?" Ashabi asked Teju, hoping he loved the apartment as much as she did. "Well, it's just there really. The rooms are big and all. But the two bathrooms are quite small and the toilets look like they would need some repairs," explained Teju as he watched Ire pushing himself around the dining area and banging his walker against the wall with the window above it. "Oh," gasped Ashabi, a little displeased by that news. "But it's a lot better than where we are coming from. The power supply here lasts all day, so we won't have to worry about lights, pumping water, preserving food and all that," Teju said as he carried the two small gas cylinders behind the grey sofa and walked into the kitchen. "Not bad then. Since the electricity and network connection are okay, we can make other things work." Ashabi couldn't wait to go into a small corner, kneel, and thank God for giving her everything she asked for. This apartment was everything she wanted, and she hoped they didn't have any sneaky surprises in the future. Ashabi spent the day moving the baby things into the farthest room. She decided the first room to the left of the living room would be the master bedroom, since it was the biggest of the three bedrooms. She and Teju moved their big mattress into it, and soon noticed that the only space left was for them to walk around the room and open the wardrobe doors. The big mattress made the room smaller. "Do you think we should stay in this room since there's only one window?" asked Teju as they began to walk out of the room. "Well, I think we can stay here. The other room to the left can be the guest room or your study, while the one to the right can be the children's room," Ashabi said, hoping Teju was convinced. "Okay," Teju replied, I just hope we can arrange all these things this week so our lives can return to normal soon enough. I hope so too, agreed Ashabi as she stepped out of the room to pick up the bag Iri was pushing around like a newfound toy. Ashabi felt a strong and positive energy running through her body like a warm bath. She felt the thick arms of hope and peace embrace her as she moved things out of the living room and into the best spaces, the bedrooms, kitchen, pantry, and dining area. Dear God, I see what you did. You gave us more than we had at the old apartment and added so much space as the icing. Thank you because you listened to me and granted almost everything on the list. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you. You are welcome, Ashabi. Keep desiring. We are listening. Ashabi turned back and wondered where the voice had come from. But she could swear that she heard someone say those words. We are listening. She knew it could only be the Spirit of God trying to assure her that this place would be her new home, at least for now. Placing her left hand on her belly bum, she felt her baby move at the presence of her touch, and she knew that was the final sign she needed to be convinced that God had chosen this apartment for them. She could not wait to watch her two children play together in this new home, shouting, laughing, and having the best time of their lives. Who says God doesn't listen? Ashabi clicked on her Gmail app to open the email she had just received from the creative writing lady. When she searched through Pinterest 2 weeks ago for books about writing, she hadn't expected to come across someone she could learn from. Mikhail's previous emails had focused on how to be a better writer through reading other writers' works. Even though Ashabi always tried to read what other writers wrote, she never felt like she could measure up. Once, she complained to Farida, "Sis, I wish I could write more than poems. I see many writers who are good at writing marketing copies and even video scripts, but it seems all I can ever write are poems," discouraged Ashabi said over the phone, as she folded some of Iri's clothes into the colorful plastic baby drawer. "Ashabi, I understand how you feel. But trust me, there's nothing wrong with being able to write only poems. Every writer has their expertise, and who knows, some of these people you admire may not even be able to write poems like you, eh?" Farida's gentle voice always sounded like the songs of angels. She had the way of using words to move Ashabi from point zero to a place where she saw herself through rose-colored glasses. And yes, Farida was right. Ashabi had read a Facebook post by a well-known screenwriter about how she hated poems and thought they were only meant for writers still in elementary school. Ashabi had been writing poems since she was 11 years old. The loving arms of poetry had been her best friend when she first started high school away from home. Unable to make friends, she got addicted to her books and pen and wrote about everything: friendship, loneliness, failure, nature, how people treated her, and anything she was going through at a particular time. Her ability to use images in fun ways and compare human beings to non-existent things gave her writing life. Ashabi loved how she could say so much with so little, and the meaning of her poems wasn't so easy to discover. As she clicked on the subject line of the email from Mikhail, she read the email body. "These three books have changed my life. They can change yours too. Get your copies, read them, and implement the lessons you learn. This is my little way of helping you achieve your writing goals, from one writer to another." Ashabi didn't know what to say. She instantly felt like God had been eavesdropping on her thoughts when she wished she could get books to help her become a better writer. If writing poetry was for children, she was ready to write what adults wrote. Ashabi clicked on the three titles of the books to learn more about them on Google. The first two books were specifically about writing films and movies, but the third one focused on creativity. The title was The Artist's Way, and at the bottom of the page, Ashabi read the author's name aloud, Julia Cameron. Desperate and eager to lay her hands on one of them, Ashabi opened a new tab in her Google Chrome app and typed PDF download of The Artist's Way. She knew getting the paperback book on Amazon was not possible, so she opted for the free download. As soon as her phone notified her that the download had ended, Ashabi opened the document and was shocked when she noticed that the double pages in each view looked funny. "God, are you sure this book will help me? I want to be better at writing, eh? You gave me this gift of writing and I don't think you just want me to write only poetry. Please let this book help me," expressed Ashabi in the empty room. Her son was enjoying his afternoon nap, so she had some time to organize the apartment and rest. She was nearing the end of her second trimester and still wasn't feeling pregnant. Her body still looked slim and agile, and she wondered if this new baby had something mysterious about it. Yet, she had not told anyone she was pregnant. When her mom called a week ago, Ashabi had felt prompted to inform her, but she chose not to. Mama Ashake could sometimes be unpredictable, and she did not want a situation where she would tell her mom and everyone on the planet would hear that she was having a COVID-19 baby. COVID-19 baby was the name given to children who were conceived or born during the lockdown or height of the pandemic. Ashabi hated the term because she was just starting to accept that this baby was not a mistake. Perhaps God had chosen to give her an early blessing. And Mrs. Daniela had said the same thing when she told her she was expecting. "Ashabi, you cannot be angry with yourself for being pregnant. This child is a gift from the Lord, and I want you to choose to feel grateful and happy. Do you know that babies feel what their mothers feel? Your baby experiences whatever emotions that run through your being. So I want you to be intentional about being happy. God will provide everything you need for this new child. So don't worry your head about where money will come from. Olorun to se omo, a pese gbogbo ohun ti e nilo lati toju e. Do you understand?" "Yes, Ma, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Your guidance means everything to me," said Ashabi, with her heart flowing in a sea of acceptance and love. Mrs. Daniela was one of the reasons Ashabi did not give in to the suicide attempts that put a rope around her neck during her first pregnancy. The tough times she went through before her marriage had crippled her inner strength and caused her to doubt if her existence even mattered to those she thought were supposed to love her. But God had given her a woman like Mrs. Daniela to hold her hand, encourage her, and pray with her whenever she was afraid or worried. Ashabi knew that God was looking out for her. As she thought about the best time to start reading her new book, Ashabi heard her neighbor's car drive in. Turning to look out the window, she saw the black Toyota Camry trying to park in the middle of the compound. Two little children soon bounced out of the car and rushed to climb up the pavement that led into their apartment. The little boy was more powerful than he looked, but the older child, a girl, cried for something that must have been inside the apartment. "Mommy, mommy, open the door, my bicycle," shouted the little girl through her teary voice. But her mom carefully took her time to carry the bags out of the car. "Rachel, stop shouting. When I open the door, you will see your bicycle. Stop shouting, please." The little girl looked like she had zero tolerance for patience, so she threw herself on the dusty ground, not minding the mess she would make on her brown and white check school uniform. Ashabi thought about stepping out to greet the woman, but she changed her mind. She doubted that she was ready to make friends just yet. Since they moved into the new apartment 3 weeks ago, she had focused on watching her neighbors through the window to learn more about them. She knew the time to make friends would come in the future. For now, she wanted to take care of her babies, husband, and herself and read this book. If God had listened to her complaints about wanting to be a better writer, he must have had a hand in Mikhail sending the email and mentioning books and creativity. He must know exactly why she did not find the first two books, but downloading the third one had been easy. Ashabi believed in synchronicity, but she did not know if this was one of those moments when things happened to you because your mind was expecting them. Opening her Adobe app, she clicked on the book title again and began to read. She hoped this book was the magic wand she needed to turn her writing career around and become the writer she had always dreamt. about.